Listen to me carefully. Because of the controversy about the rapture doctrine, I decided to take a teaching I had, which is called The Rapture and the Law of First Fruits, and show you 2 weeks of excerpts from this teaching. I'm telling you that it's time to get into the Word, not opinion. It's time to show you in history and the Word and the Greek and Hebrew word studies that this rapture is a true doctrine. So my hair was black back then, but watch the content of this particular teaching. I want to welcome you to a very special teaching today. I don't know when I have been more excited about sharing fresh insight and information with viewers as I am on this subject, the rapture and the law of first fruits. What we're going to show you today is that the law of first fruits of harvest is a picture of the church being raptured to heaven before the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period. Now, we've got a lot of material to cover. Now, over here on my left, which will be your right on the screen, I have set up an image of the high priest. This is a mannequin with the high priest outfit on. And we have some wheat and some barley. We have some of the early instruments that they would have used to harvest the wheat and the barley, replicas that have been made. And we're going to talk about several things. We're going to talk about the law of harvest, because the seven feasts of Israel centered around the harvest seasons. We're going to talk about the ingathering, a term that you're going to be hearing, which is mentioned in the Old Testament, and how the ingathering is a perfect picture of the gathering together of the saints in heaven. And we're going to talk about the law of first fruits and how first fruits is the key to understanding that there must be a gathering together of the saints of God at the temple in heaven and presented to Jesus Christ as his first fruits. Now let's look at two scriptures, because if we're going to talk about this word rapture, it's a theological English word that we use to describe an event mentioned by the Apostle Paul, then we have to read the scriptures. Let's look at two scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16, 17. Paul said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be," now notice the phrase, "caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The second reference is Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now notice, it talks about something being gathered together to the Lord. That's the phrase that we're going to key up on in a few moments to help you understand where we get the concept or where we get the idea about a rapture. Now before we get into that subject, let's do a little bit of a background study here. Because among the Jewish people, especially those who believe the Bible, you know, our Bible is divided up into two components. It's the Old Testament and it's the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament revealed that there would come a Messiah, that this Messiah would be a King Messiah. He would come to rule on earth as King. Now, there are some prophecies in the Bible that indicate that the Messiah would suffer and then he would rule. This idea in prophecy became known as the two Messiahs. One is called Messiah ben Yosef and the other is called Messiah ben David, which means Messiah, son of Joseph, Messiah, son of David. The Messiah, son of Joseph, is supposed to come to earth and suffer and die. However, the Messiah, son of David, is the one that David saw, which was going to rule on earth as a king. Now, among the rabbinical scholars today in the Jewish religion, many of them believe that this is two different people appearing at two different times. However, if we understand the Bible prophecies and how they were fulfilled through Christ, we understand that Jesus is one person who fulfills two different roles at two different time periods. For example, the first time that Jesus came, he came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He came as a lamb to suffer at Passover and die. However, in the book of Revelation, when you read about Jesus, it calls him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he will rule on earth for 1,000 years, Revelation chapter 20, and he will rule as King of kings and Lord of lords and rule the nations with a rod of iron. So it's not two different men, it's one man, fulfilling two different roles. Now, speaking of his role, Jesus on earth was a prophet. In heaven right now, he is the priest, but one day he will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so what I want to show you is this, that there is a concept both in the Old and New Testament of a King Messiah who will produce a kingdom. Now, when you go into the Old Testament prophecies and you begin to read, you will discover numerous places where it talks about this. For example, in the book of Jude 14 and 15, the Bible says that Enoch prophesied that the Lord would come with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon the earth. Zechariah 14, if you go through all the way through verses 4 through 8 and read it in its entirety, the Bible indicates that his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is eastward in Jerusalem. The mountain will cleave in two parts, one part to the east and one part to the west. Of course, this is a prophecy about when Jesus comes back to earth again to rule there in the city of Jerusalem. Zechariah 14, if you want to take the time later on to read verses 9 through 17, it will tell you that the king will rule from Jerusalem. And that king, of course, is Christ. We know from the book of Joel chapter 3, that he would judge the nations. We know from Zechariah chapter 14 that when the king comes back, that we will celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles with him. The nations will be joined together and will come up to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast with the Lord. So these are scriptures that indicate a king is coming back and that he's going to rule on earth. But we also find in the book of Daniel that Daniel mentions in Daniel 2:44, 7:14, 7:18, there was coming a kingdom which would be the kingdom of God. And he says, the kingdom shall be given to the saints of the Most High God. Now, Daniel is one of the first prophets of the Old Testament to actually talk about and mention a kingdom which was coming. Now, that's under the Old Testament. We come into the New Testament. John the Baptist comes along and says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist, of course, is beheaded. Jesus then picks up the mantle and comes as the lamb that took away the sins of the world. And Jesus comes, and what does Jesus preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So John the Baptist and Jesus both preached about this kingdom which was going to come. Now, when Jesus was about to ascend back to heaven in Acts chapter 1, his disciples came to him and asked him, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own power. So the disciples were concerned about this restoration of the kingdom. And so when we go into the Old Testament, we discover that a King Messiah is coming. A King Messiah will rule from Jerusalem. A King Messiah will set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. According to the book of Ezekiel, this King Messiah will rebuild a huge temple in Jerusalem. And in Revelation chapter 19, there will be, I'm sorry, chapter 20, six times it mentions 1,000 years. This king will rule in the day of the Lord. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. And this King Messiah will rule from the city of Jerusalem. Now, that's a little background study about how when you read the Old and New Testament, you see a Messiah. The Hebrew word is Mashiach. It's the anointed one who will come back to rule and reign. Now, we believe, and I believe the Bible indicates, that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, is that King Messiah. He came the first time as a lamb. He's coming the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He came the first time to suffer. He's coming the second time to rule and reign. Now, that leads us to something. Does the Bible teach that there is going to be an appearing of this Messiah on earth? Yes, and we all know that. Even people who don't believe in what we call the second coming or the rapture understand that Jesus Christ, now let me rephrase it, the people who don't believe in the rapture concept, even they believe, people, for example, in Dominion Theology, what they call Kingdom Now, they believe the Lord is coming back one day. They basically believe that we're just going to perfect the earth and Jesus is going to come out of heaven and just, you know, plop down here somewhere on earth after we get things straightened up. Of course, that's a concept that was taught later on in the early, among some of the early church fathers, but was never taught in the New Testament. The New Testament teaches 318 places in the return of the Lord. Now, the question comes up about if we have the Old Testament revelation given to the Jewish people about the Messiah, we have a New Testament revelation showing that Jesus was the Messiah. We could say it this way. The Old Testament is the Messiah being concealed. The New Testament is the Messiah being revealed. And I like that. Now, if you look at this very carefully, this brings us to something interesting, and that is this. When God spoke to Abraham, God said to Abraham, your seed will be as the sand and as the stars. Now, sand is earthly, stars are heavenly. And I've often pointed this out to people, that that the natural seed of Abraham, which are the Jewish people, have earthly promises, but the church has heavenly promises. And this is one reason I think God compared the seed of Abraham to two things, sand and stars. One would be a natural seed, one would be a spiritual seed. Believers today who've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they are the spiritual seed of Abraham, not the natural seed, but the spiritual seed of Abraham, which has been grafted into that covenant. Now, having said that, I want to share with you a couple things that's very, very, very important as we get into the study. If the church is given heavenly promises, and we are, as the seed of Abraham, the wonderful stars of heaven, where are those heavenly promises indicated in the New Testament? Well, let me say this to you. One of those heavenly promises is the coming of the Lord for the believer and the resurrection of the dead in Christ, summed up in an event we call the catching away, or the English theological word is rapture. Now, for a few moments, I'm going to have to just share a little bit of background about this, because one of the things that is being fought greatly by some television ministers, some on radio, some who write books, is that this rapture teaching is some kind of a modern fabrication that began in the 1830s at a prayer meeting. Well, other men researched it and found out that it actually was first written in a book in the 1700s, so it predates 1830. And then other men researched and found some scrolls from the Orthodox Church by Ephraim the Syrian, where he taught that there would be a pre-tribulation rapture of the church that would happen before the seven-year tribulation period. And that was taught as far back as the 4th century. So when you hear people, whether it's an internet site or come on TV, and they talk about that the rapture teaching was an 1830 teaching, that is an old theory. That theory has been washed up and it's out now. However, I don't want to go back to somebody saying it's here, here, and here. I want to go back to what the Apostle Paul said, because it is found in the Bible. Now, basically, here's what we come up with. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul talks about that after his conversion, he went up into Arabia. And there in Arabia, he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we know from the book of Galatians that Mount Sinai is located in Arabia. Now, if you will go back to Exodus chapter 19, and I challenge you to read this thoroughly sometime in the future, maybe after you watch the tape here. But if you go to Exodus 19, Exodus 19 is a beautiful picture of what we call the catching up of the saints. And you can read it in its entirety. You know, it talks about that on the third day, the people sanctified themselves at the base of the mountain. It talks about there was a voice of the trumpet waxing louder and louder in Judaism. That's the Tekiah HaGedolah, which is the last trumpet blown on the Feast of Trumpets. You hold your breath, you blast that trumpet as long and as loud as you can. So that loud and long trumpet of Exodus 19 is a picture of the Tekiah HaGedolah, where the saints are raised and the living are called up to meet the Lord in the air, based on 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. And then it says in Exodus 19 that the Lord came down and Moses went up. The Bible says the Lord will descend from heaven with the shout. He will descend. He will come out of heaven. Then we who are alive shall be caught up to meet him in the clouds. And of course, a cloud covered Mount Sinai. So the picture of the coming of the Lord for the church is Exodus chapter 19. Read it in its entirety, because any revelation you find in the New Testament, there will always be a foundation somewhere in the Old Testament, which are the book of Genesis through the book of Malachi, what we call our Old Testament. Now, having said that, the Apostle Paul went, apparently, to the same area, Arabia, where Moses had received the law, because Moses received the law on top of Mount Sinai there in Arabia. And when he went to that area and received this commandments of God, he came back with this great, great, great revelation. Now, let me share this with you, that the Apostle Paul gave us the revelation of what we call the rapture of the church. Now, once again, let's look at the word rapture, because every time I say this on a program, rapture, I know I'll get emails and letters. How can you preach something that's not in the Bible? That word is not in the Bible. Well, it's not in the English translation of the Bible. Someone said to me the other day, they wrote me a letter and they said, you should never quote anything but the 1611 King James Version of the Bible, because that's the inspired version of the Bible. Well, let's get technical. If you really want to quote the Bible like it's supposed to be quoted, you got to quote the New Testament in Greek and the Old Testament Hebrew, because it was written, the Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. So most folks I know can't read the Bible in Hebrew and Greek, so we read a translation. So in the English translation of the Bible, you won't find the word rapture. However, when St. Jerome took the Greek scriptures and translated them from Greek into Latin, he got to the word caught up together, and it's the Latin word repere, and that means to be caught up in ecstasy, to be caught up in joy. It just means to be caught up in general. So that's the word. So from that word, we took the word rapture, which means to be seized up or to be caught up. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 4, where it says we shall be caught up, the Greek word is harpazo, and that word means to grab up, to seize by force, to pull out of danger's way. There's several different meanings. It's used several times, by the way, in the New Testament. It's not just used here talking about what we talk about here. We talk about the teaching of the rapture. So the bottom line is simply this. When you take a look at what the Scripture has to say about this gathering together or this catching away, then you have to look at these particular words. So here's what the word caught up together means. In Greek, it means to seize by force, to snatch out suddenly. The word that we choose in English, in the English language, is rapture. Now, don't get caught up on the word itself, because I don't get caught up on the word. I just want to talk about the event. You know, theologians use the word demon. Demon is not in the Bible. The word possessed is demonized. That's where we get the word demon from. It means to have a spirit. The word second advent, which is often quoted by churches, that's not in the Bible. We know what it means. It means when the Lord returns to earth again. The word millennial reign is not in the English translation of the Bible. But the meaning is there in Revelation 20, because Jesus rules for 1,000 years. It's mentioned 6 times in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, and it's a millennium. A millennium is 1,000. So sometimes people want to strain it a gnat and swallow a camel, and they get hung up because a particular word is not found there. But sometimes we, in the English language, will take an English word to describe something that is found in the Bible. And certainly, no one could deny this if you really read the Scriptures and you believe it. There is a catching away mention. Now, let's look at the words that are used in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 talks about we will be caught up together. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10 talks about gathering together unto Him. We find out 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1 talks about we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto Him. Two different events. The coming, which is to come to return to earth. The gathering together unto Him, which is a separate event. Two different events mentioned there. And of course, in Revelation 4 and 1, we have a picture of this event when John is told by the Lord, come up hither, and he hears that sound of that trumpet, and he's caught up into heaven immediately. He is in the Spirit there in heaven. So, basically, when I use the word rapture, here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when two major events will happen at one time. The one event will be the resurrection of the dead in Christ. The dead in Christ would be from the thief on the cross, because he was the first man in biblical record to actually be covered by the blood of Christ, to actually be redeemed by Christ. When the thief on the cross, all the way till the moment that the trump of God sounds, at the rapture, these individuals who are dead in Christ will be resurrected. Now, I'm not going to get into a heavy study of the resurrection, except to tell you that according to Paul in Thessalonians, that those who are in Christ or asleep in Christ, he uses that as a euphemism to describe death, those who are asleep in Christ will he bring with him when he returns. So these people are in paradise. If you have a loved one who's gone on to be with Jesus, their soul and spirit has left their body and is now in paradise, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, which is located in the third heaven. At the return of the Lord for the rapture, he will bring the soul and spirit out with him, and then they will be given a brand new body. It's a mystery. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I show you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. And so they will be given a resurrected body, and they will be in the air, and then we who are living will be changed. And I believe that word change there may be metamorpho, which means to change from one state to another. And we will instantly be changed, and then we will be caught up. Now, there's where the phrase or the term caught up comes in. We'll be seized up from the earth to meet them in the air. And these two events happening at one time are the catching away or the gathering together or the ingathering, or let's use the English theological word, because people, especially in the Western Hemisphere, much of Europe who are Christians, are familiar with this term, the word rapture. Now, most people can believe that Jesus is coming back again, but the real controversy comes in of the timing of it. When does this event take place? Well, we may be getting ahead of ourselves here to bring this out, but we'll talk about this perhaps later on. But there is a time frame. It starts with Daniel 9:27. It's also found in the book of Revelation, which is a time frame called the 7-year tribulation period. Now, in Daniel 9:27, it says he confirms the covenant with many for 1 week. That word week there in Hebrew is a the Hebrew word for week of years and not week of days. That's why we talk about 7 years. And then you read later on in the book of Daniel, it talks about the Antichrist, and it says he will rule for time, times, and dividing of time. That is a theological term again in Hebrew, meaning 3.5 years. Time is 1 year. Times is double, 2 years. Half a time is 6 months. That's where we get 3.5 years from. Then we go to the book of Revelation, and we see the 7 year tribulation there because of the way the book of Revelation is divided up. Book of Revelation there is divided up into 1,260 days or 42 months for the first half. Then there's a little bit of a break with some activity taking place right in the middle where the Antichrist invades Jerusalem, and then he rules for another 42 months or 1,260 days. And you can clearly see that when you look at the book of Revelation, how that it's divided up into 42 months and 42 months. Now, having said that, that means that there is a 7 year time frame where I call it the 7 years in which man's government has the authority and power to rule before the Messiah comes back. This is called a prophetic week, one prophetic week. Now, let's follow through with this and let's look at something. Most people believe that there is, and I say most people, let me say it this way to make it clarified. Most people who believe in biblical prophecy, who study the scriptures, believe there's going to be a 7 year tribulation period. Matthew 24, part of it is called the Great Tribulation. In the book of Revelation, John says, these are they which have come out of tribulation, have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. So this theory about tribulation is found not only in the New Testament, it is found in the Old Testament passages. It is also found in the writings of the early church fathers, especially the first and second century, where they talk about the Antichrist, the beast, and the tribulation period. So this is a concept that's very well ingrained in church history about the tribulation, which is going to happen in the future. Now, having said that, here are the theories. There are people that are called preterists. Now, a preterist is someone who says, no, there's not going to be a rapture. There's not going to be a coming of the Lord. Everything was fulfilled in Matthew 24 in the year 70 AD when the temple was destroyed and the Jewish people were scattered. Well, there's one way that you can absolutely, totally destroy the preterist doctrine. I have a lot of people that email me and write me about preterism, and they say, what do you think about it? Here's the key. If the book of Revelation was written later than 70 AD, all the doctrine of preterism falls completely apart into the dust. And you can go to the early church fathers and you can go to scholarly works, and they will identify to you that the book of Revelation was written in 95 AD, 25 years after 70 AD. You know, the one reason preterists believe the book of Revelation was written before 70 AD is in Revelation 11, John says, measure the temple of God and they that worship therein, but the court that's without leave out, for it's given to the Gentiles. They say, aha, the temple was destroyed in the year 70. Therefore, the book of Revelation had to be written before the year 70. No, that temple in Revelation 11 is a building that's going to be built during the tribulation period. Of course, they don't believe that. If they don't believe that, they got to come up with a theory of their own. Please give me your undivided attention for a moment. There are some discoveries that have been made that give you a breakthrough on understanding the mystery of the pre-tribulation return of Christ. Prophecies concealed, now revealed. The rapture, the tribulation, the thousand-year reign of Christ are all concealed in the fall festivals of Israel. Now, this is a book. I want to read this to you real quick, just some chapter titles. End Time Parallels of the Days of Lot and Noah, Decoding the Judgment Files, Who Can Escape What Is Coming, The Mystery of the Missing 70 Years, King Saul, The Pattern for the United States, Patterns in the Fall Festivals, Yom HaKisah, The Mystery of the Hidden Day, Does One Generation Remain Before the End of Time, Parallel Signs of the First and Second Coming of Jesus, Triggers to the Tribulation, The Termination of the Church Age, Arguments Against the Pre-Tribulation Gathering, Decoding the Yom Kippur Cipher. Goodness, this is just filled with fresh insight and information. Now, here's what I've got to tell you. We only have 5,000 of these books left. And so we're not going to do what we normally do and teach and then offer this for the next couple weeks. We're only going to do it for maybe 1 or 2 weeks only. So if you do not have this book, that is a dynamic book explaining to you the prophecies that have been hidden and concealed that are now being made known in connection with the Feast of Israel, please go ahead and get your copy today while we still have them available. I'm going to also include, if you'll respond right now, The Apocalypse Made Easy. This is a CD teaching of which I explain to you how to understand the book of Revelation, the symbolism. It's made easy. In other words, it doesn't use the large theological terms and the in-depth teaching that many people try to get into, which complicates things with some people. This will make it simple. So get the book and the CD teaching. If you will send us to help us stay on the air $25 or more, I want to get this into your hands. The information is on the screen. For $25 or more, you can go to perrystone.org and order it right now, or you can write me at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and include the check to the ministry and the offer number, or you can simply go 1-888-21-BREAD. So order it now while they are still available. What I'm going to show you is a very limited offer because we only have a little over 4,000 of these books left. That's why we're only going to do this special for 2 weeks. This is called Prophecies Concealed, Now Revealed. Discover a biblical breakthrough that solves the mystery of the pre-tribulation rapture. And this book is a book I wrote some time ago. And as I said, we're down to 4,000 copies, so it'll be first come, first serve. But I want you to look at this because we go into the festivals of Israel, which people love teaching on. But we're going to show you some things that's not commonly taught. Now, with this book, for this offer, comes The Apocalypse Made Easy. All right? So The Apocalypse Made Easy comes with this. And this is a great teaching on how to understand the apocalypse from a basic, simple level. Everybody needs to hear this, I think. And also, if you want to get the Rapture and the Law of First Fruits, the entire teaching, it will be available as well on our website at perrystone.org. We always want to remind you about our main event, which comes up in the month of October 7th through the 11th. Please don't miss that. But we're coming to Tulsa, Oklahoma at Sheridan Church, a great church that we've been to several times, on September the 7th. September 13th and 14th at Worth It Worship Summit in Granite City, Illinois. And that's Calvary Life Church. You could probably go to their website and get information there. Then September 28th, Covenant Community Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, Dr. Michael Knight, who is a wonderful he's a genius, actually, in the Word, but we're looking forward to coming back to Madisonville, Kentucky, and that's September 28th. Then we have the main event, and let me just add, if you are from Nicholasville, Kentucky, Christ Embassy, we're going to be coming there on October 27th. So we've got a lot of places we're coming to, and we hope that you can join us. Go to perrystone.org, Perrystone Ministries, Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. The final times and seasons are now upon us. Experience the best of prophecy and revival this coming fall. It will be myself, Perry Stone, Jonathan Kahn, Joseph C., Tommy Bates, Billy Burke, Lyndall Cooley and his worship team, Karen Peck and New River, beginning Tuesday night, October 7th through Saturday, October the 11th, with the great fall festival at the end of the day. I want you to register for this at perrystone.org if you know that you're coming and there's no fee to attend. So I want to tell you that this is going to be, in my opinion, the most significant conference we've ever had, with the best prophecy and a healing service Friday night with Billy Burke. Go to perrystone.org for information.
Help amplify Perry's message and ministry by joining the Partner Strike Force today. As Perry's partner, you'll be supporting multiple outreach programs from Perry Stone Ministries. You'll also receive special access to premium events and materials, such as our Partner Strike Force website, live-streamed prophetic updates, and more. Go to perrystone.org and sign up today.